everyone. Welcome to the first committee hearing of the 2021 legislative session for the Education Finance Committee. I'm Representative Jim Davney. I have the privilege of chairing this committee. To the public and members, remote hearings such as this are held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked to in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by the good people of the House Public Information Service. Members, you have the contents of this meeting in your virtual packet available to them. And for the public, these materials have also been posted online. Members, if you're looking for all these items in one place, they are attached in the calendar event that you have that Ms. Burt sent. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise their hand via the app. Ms. Burt will then pass that along, information along to the chair. And if a member is on the phone and doesn't have access to the raise hand feature, please email Ms. Burt and she will put your question in the queue. This is the digital equivalent of getting the attention of the chair or the committee administrator. An email from your House account with the subject line, "Please recognize," is all that is required if you're on your phone. We'll start with a roll call of members, but members, unlike a normal roll call in the future, please take a moment to also introduce yourselves after your name is called. Please share which school district or districts you represent and one of your goals for participating in this committee's work this biennium. Ms. Sunderland, if you'd please call the roll.
Chair Dabney.
Good morning. Thank you. Present, and I represent part of South Minneapolis and the Minneapolis Public Schools. My emphasis or my focus for this year will be the pandemic and its impact on teaching and learning, as well as Minnesota's ongoing racial disparities in educational opportunities. Thank you.
Vice Chair Sandsted.
Good morning, everyone. I am Representative Sandsted. I represent District 6A, which is a part of the Iron Range. I am also a public school teacher. This is going to be my 27th year of teaching, and I'm really excited to be here. This is my third term in the House. I am mostly interested in preserving the integrity of our education and our profession. Also, I am very focused right now on student mental health and broadband connectivity for our students as we have looked at this new platform of delivering education. I know the challenges personally, and it's really problematic when our students have no connectivity.
Thank you. Next, we have our Republican lead, Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, and I apologize. My camera didn't kick in this morning, so I have to try a different device, but I appreciate being here. My district, I'm located in Morrison and Todd County, centrally located in Minnesota. The districts, I'll see if I can rattle these off pretty quickly. Piers, Royalton, Little Falls, Swanville, Upsala, Long Prairie, Pillager, parts of Browerville, Gray Eagle, and I think there's a couple more I might have missed there. As well as a couple private schools as well. So that's the district that I represent, and I look forward to our discussions about how we're going to reopen schools, how we're going to get these kids back in, the learning losses we may have had, and of course the racial disparities gaps that we've been talking about for way, way, way too long. So those are some issues that I'll be looking forward to.
Next, we have Representative Bennett.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to be a part of this committee again. I'm looking forward to working with all of you. I am a former public school teacher of 33 years. I have a master's degree focusing on special education. And during my teaching career, I taught both special ed and regular ed, especially at the younger years. First grade was a grade I taught for quite a few years and just loved it. My school districts, boy, see if I can think of all of them. In my district, which is 27A, Southern Minnesota, I have Albert Lee, Wells, which is called United South Central, Glenville, Alden Conger, Blooming Prairie, and Hayfield. I think I've got all of them there. So it's a pleasure to represent those districts. As for my goals, boy, I guess my number one is get schools reopened, get kids back in person. They need that. Children need hands-on, in-person, eye-to-eye, face-to-face learning. So that's my major goal. Secondly, I would like to find ways to re-engage many families and parents into the education process. I think there are things that we can do that will help bring our education up through re-engaging those families that we've kind of lost. And I can explain that more later, but I won't get into it now. So thanks so much.
Thank you. And next we have Representative Daniels.
Thank you, and thank you, Chair Dabney. It's good to be back on education finance. I represent District 24B, which is Rice County, part of Dodge, and Small Silver Dodge, and Steele County. And my school districts are Faribault, both a public school, the Lutheran School, Bethlehem Academy, Shattuck, St. Mary's, and the Minnesota Academies for the Deaf and the Blind. And then I've got the Medford Public Schools, Morristown, Near Strand Elementary School, Ellendale Public Schools. And my priority is, I think it was like Representative Bennett, is get these kids back in school. I've got two grandchildren in the Faribault Public School. They're normally A and B students, and they're certainly not that now after distance learning for quite a few months. So get them back in the schools, like I say, try to get them caught up. My priorities besides that, I do represent the Deaf and Blind Academy, so I have a handful of bills again this year to further the toolkit, I guess, for the deaf communities. One big victory I got to shout out is about 3 weeks ago, the interstate signs of the Deaf and Blind Academies were installed for the first time in history. So that was a big week, and we're looking forward to doing some more of that. I also like to try to get a handle on my finances commitment to the higher ed or the K-12 education, just to wrap my head around it better. There's so many funding sources, so my priority myself is to learn that more and understand it better. Thanks again for letting me be on the committee.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Damuth.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Chair Dabney. It is good to be back with you. I am serving my second term in the legislature. Prior to this, I had served 11 years on my local school board. I represent District 13A, which is a portion of Stearns County. The school districts that I have in my area are Ricoree, St. Cloud, Painesville, Kimball, and Eden Valley Watkins. My priorities for this session are to get our kids safely back in school, to address the learning loss that we know has all happened, and then also to continue to address the achievement gap that has been only highlighted through our response to the pandemic. Good to be with all of you. I'm looking forward to the work that we're going to do.
Excellent, thank you. Next, we have Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair Dabney. Looking forward to serving on the Education Finance Committee. I'm the lead from the Newhouse Republican Caucus and haven't served on this committee before, so looking forward to it. I have a master's degree in education, an MED in agricultural education from the University of Minnesota. I taught with the Extension Service for 15 years prior to serving in the legislature. My priorities are that we can get schools and kids and families back to normal, get schools open again, and also bring forward an education system that is more responsive to the needs of the parents, as we understand that parents are the number one educators in kids' lives. We need to get a system that is more responsive to them, rather than being fully what appears to many times be fully responsive to the government. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And next we have Representative Erickson.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I am Sandra Erickson, and I represent House District 15A. I'm a retired high school English teacher and taught over 4 decades, beginning my career in 1964. So I'm probably the oldie on the screen. I have about 10 districts that I address the needs of: Elk River to the south, Cambridge and Mora to the east, Foley on the west, and to the north, Onamia, Isle, Piers, and Aiken, plus Ogilvy, which is sandwiched in between. My home district is Princeton, where I did teach high school English and journalism and taught Kurt Dowd when he was a junior. My interests and concerns this session, I think, echo what our students will say in their testimonies. Distance learning has been a frustration. So how do we return our students to the classroom, our teachers to the classroom, and have our parents as our continuing support group and offering suggestions as well? So I hope whatever funding changes or reforms or modifications we make will address those needs. I also am concerned about the achievement gap, the growing disparity among our students, the learning loss that has occurred. And of course, I want us to discuss lessons that we've learned from this. And of course, broadband will be one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Feist.
Hi, everyone. I'm Representative Feist. I represent District 41B, which covers the southern part of New Brighton, Columbia Heights, St. Anthony, and Hilltop. The school districts include the Moundsview School District, which is where my 2 elementary school kids go, as well as the St. Anthony New Brighton School District and the Columbia Heights School District. One of the key reasons I ran for office was to advocate for our students and our schools, and I am really excited to be on this committee where we can really look at the opportunity gap, like so many people have said, and look at ways that we can make our funding of our schools more equitable, more generous, and more consistent. In the short term, I look forward to working with everyone to really address the disparities in how the pandemic has affected different communities and really make sure that all of our kids get back on track. So very excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Jordan.
I'm Sydney Jordan. I represent 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. And I have the honor of representing Minneapolis Public Schools as well. And I think my hopes and dreams are really to make sure that Minneapolis Public Schools has the resources they need to give children the best possible education. I really think that this committee in particular needs to address making sure that the state is paying its obligation to our students and our educators and our families so that they can have that equitable education that so many of you have talked about, and really making sure that we're in particular addressing special education funding and ELL funding. So I'm really interested in our cross subsidy. I'm really interested in funding streams, and I'm really just interested in making our public schools the best possible schools they can be. So excited to serve with all of you.
Thank you. Next on the committee, we have Representative Marquardt, who has been excused for the week. After him, we have Representative Mueller.
Hello, I'm Representative Mueller from 27B. In my district, my main major city is Austin, but I also represent several amazing smaller towns such as Leroy, Racine, Waltham, Sargent, and all sorts of areas in Lyle. So in my area, we have I have several school districts such as Austin, Lyle, Pacelli, Grand Meadow, Leroy, and I think I might be missing one in there, but really great area to represent, and I'm really proud of our district. So my goals, I've been a teacher for 17 years and actually was just, I literally left the classroom to come from here. I was in the classroom just as recent as December 22nd. And then went straight from there to this job, which is great. I taught, I'm an English teacher, and I taught all the way from 7th grade all the way up to college. I do have my master's degree in curriculum instruction with an emphasis in literacy, and I'm also pursuing my doctorate degree in education leadership again, with an emphasis in literacy with the expected graduation date of 2022. So some of my goals for this term as being on this committee is I want to be able to look at how we can improve our relationship with the business community so that we can offer some different paths to education, and how we can promote some vocational and non-traditional ways that we can, that our students can get an education, especially through some of the vocations and through, again, through business partnerships. So thanks so much, and I appreciate learning more about all of you and then working with you this session.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Richardson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ruth Richardson. I represent House District 52B, which includes Mendota Heights, Invergrove Heights, Egan, and Sunfish Lake. I have three school districts, 196, 197, and 199. The issues that I am most excited to, to address this session are really focused around the opportunity gap that so many have talked about today. The disparities that we have seen within Minnesota have been deep and persistent, and the COVID pandemic has only served to deepen those already existing disparities. And so definitely looking forward to working together to address the racial disparities and also the disparities that we are seeing for students with disabilities as well. And mental health needs are also at an all-time high as well. And so that is also an area of interest.
Perfect. And next we have Representative Thompson.
You guys pardon me for not having my camera, but I had to drive in and come in because I wasn't able to log in remotely. So I'm walking through the garage. So sorry. But my name is John Thompson. I represent District 67A, which is school district also is 625, St. Paul Public Schools. I also represent the students that we're talking about who are a huge part of the achievement gap that we talk about fixing. Some of my goals is to try to tackle some of the opportunity gaps and career pathways that have been taken out of the public schools. We also know that the kids need mental health, behavioral health specialists more than ever in the schools. And getting the teachers back to school safely and making sure that they have a safety net if they were to get sick from going in to teach our precious young ones would be a priority of mine also. You know, we didn't have to wait for it to be a pandemic to know that teachers are essential workers. Also understanding that we have some culturally specific organizations in my community that need a little help because we can't put it all on the public school teachers. We have some after school activities that need to be, give these kids a chance. I mean, I know all of us know that we're going to be old at some point, so we're going to need these kids to take care of us. And so it's important for me to be a part of this body. And I just want to thank everybody so far for what you said.
Wonderful. Thank you. Up next, we have Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members. My name is Dan Wolgamott, and I'm proud to represent District 14B, which includes North St. Cloud, East St. Cloud, Minden, and Haven Township. I am also proud to serve two different school districts, the St. Cloud School District and the Stock Rapids Rice School District, where I get to work with a lot of the students in my capacity as a ninth grade football coach. I'm really honored to be on this committee with you all. I think that now more than ever, we're seeing how important education is for the health and well-being of all of our communities. I'm a father of two daughters who are in public schools. And so my goal on this committee is to be a champion for them and for their classmates and for their teachers to make sure that we're fully funding our schools, to make sure that the diversity of students in our classrooms are reflected by the educators in diversity in opportunities to become educators in our classrooms. And also a huge issue for my community is that special education cross-subsidy that Representative Jordan had mentioned earlier in the meeting. So excited to do this work with you and look forward to the journey ahead.
Excellent. Up next, we have Representative Zhang.
Hi, I'm Representative Tu Zhang from House District 53A. The school districts in my that I represent are ISD 622, where I graduated from, and also House District 833, South Washington School District. And looking forward to working with you all, and I'm interested in preparing the next generation, as mentioned earlier, to take up the mantle and to be competitive in the world marketplace. Thank you.
Perfect. And then our final committee member, we have Representative Joachim.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Joachim. I represent Hopkins and St. Louis Park. I have Hopkins and St. Louis Park public schools in my district, as well as a variety of parochial, charter, and private schools. And I hope that we can really dig in and figure out what our districts need to continue to educate our children to the best of their ability during the pandemic. They have been open and available to our kids and want to see what they need to continue to do that. Also looking at the ELL and special ed cross subsidy, but more importantly, trying to figure out a way forward where we can try to reimagine the way we're delivering education. I think this pandemic, strangely enough, has given us the opportunity of that for that and given us that mirror to look at and what our opportunity gap is out there and making sure that we can figure out how to get the kids what they need to be successful in education. So hopefully we don't miss that opportunity to reimagine how we're delivering, because before the pandemic, the schools were doing their best, but they weren't always doing the best for all of our kids.
And that is the end of our roll call. Oh, Jim, you're on mute.
Of course I am. Members, I want to, and the public who are watching, I want to introduce briefly the staff, both partisan and nonpartisan, who are in the room, as it were, with us. Over the next week in particular, as they present, the nonpartisan staff will introduce themselves more fully, but I want to acknowledge them. We are staffed by a number of people. Our House research team includes Mr. Tim Strom, Ms. Christina Parra, and Ms. Emily Adrians, our fiscal analyst. Our revisor is Ms. Cassandra McGinnis. Our House Public Information Coordinator is Chris Carpenter, and our writer is Ms. Rachel Katz. The DFL caucus staff who serve the committee are the committee administrator, Sarah Burt, the committee, Mars Beltrandi-Rudquist, the DFL researcher, and Brittany Sunderland, the committee legislative assistant. The House GOP research staff for this committee is Jody Withers. And thank all of those staff for their service. We wanted to begin this legislative session and our work together with hearing first and foremost from student voices. And we've partnered with the Minnesota Youth Council to solicit those voices from across the state. The upside of the pandemic is the greater ease with which people from across the state can participate in the legislative process. The Minnesota Youth Council committee was established in statute in 2013 under the auspices of the Minnesota Alliance with Youth. The committee consists of four members from each congressional district in Minnesota and four members selected at large. The duties of the council is to provide advice and recommendations to the legislature and governor on issues affecting youth, and to serve as a liaison for youth around the state to the legislature and the governor. There is, members, a Minnesota Youth Council committee that meets twice each year during the regular session of the legislature. They select introduced bills in the House of Representatives and the Senate for consideration for a public hearing before the Committee of Youth. There is nothing as terrifying as presenting one of your bills before that committee. They are smart, they ask tough questions, and they are relentless. It's a great group of students to have engaged in the legislative process, and Minnesota is very lucky to have that structure in place. We're going to start today with Ms. Salma Abdi from Rochester, Minnesota. Ms. Abdi, please unmute your microphone and proceed with your testimony. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Chair Davney. Dear Chair Davney and fellow committee members, my name is Salma Abdi, and I'm a current junior at Century High School in Rochester, Minnesota. I'm also a youth representative, as previously said, for Congressional District 1 on the Minnesota Youth Council. And the MYC is made up of four youth members from each congressional district, 36 in total, and four at-large members. With the MYC, we have the opportunity to work with state agencies, aid the legislature, and serve in different capacities across the state. For example, I serve as an appointed member of the Children's Cabinet Advisory Council. Additionally, we also use our resources, knowledge, and experience to work in four focus areas on different subcommittees: juvenile justice, education excellence, mental health and well-being, and environmental justice, which were all identified as important things to youth in our communities. Within our positions, we heard directly from the youth in our community. And as the student body secretary of my school, I hear these issues directly from my fellow peers. And the thing we're all saying is that we are in need of more resources and aid, especially in greater Minnesota. Because as we move further away from urban centers, access to technology, resources, and testing decreases in more rural areas. Not only that, the students who do have access to technology are not receiving a quality education and the ability to thrive. I've experienced this firsthand as a junior studying for standardized tests like the ACT and SAT, where I've spent upwards of $500 on materials. I have that privilege, but can the same be said for my fellow peers across the state? Can we wholeheartedly say that it is true and that they all have access to things ready to prepare them for college? For that moment of hesitation we all felt when I asked that question, it reinforces why allocating more money to our education system is essential, especially now where we see different learning models across the state. For example, my school district has not had secondary students online the entire year, and it has caused issues of disconnectedness, lack of concentration, and a lack of passion for learning. Parents are frustrated, students are frustrated, and so are teachers. In fact, my school district currently, there's a Facebook group going on called RPS, Prioritize Our Student, which is talking about those frustrations, which are all valid. We sit in front of our laptops for 86-minute classes where we do not receive a similar education, and students who are interested in certain subjects won't be able to pursue that interest in a class filled with blank screens. Another issue that is making distance learning especially harder for my school district is the implementation of grading for learning, which foregoes including quizzes, homework, participation, and any other miscellaneous piece from our grades and depends solely on the outcome of tests. This form of grading was meant to be more equitable, but only allows students who have the opportunity to solely focus on school to thrive. And those that do not have that privilege are fighting to survive amidst a global pandemic and a heightened awareness of racial, environmental, and political issues in our state and country, further disproportionately affecting Black and Indigenous and people of color, rural and low-income communities. That is why we cannot wait around for a five-year plan or a quick and easy investment till the pandemic is over, because the inequities across our state is evident of deeper issues that have existed for decades. The pandemic is only enlightening people now. Additionally, this investment this year will aid in getting resources so our education gap does not further affect graduation rates of students, especially those in areas that lack resources. There is a direct thought process that comes with the thought of funding schools in an area and the perception of how dreams and aspirations will play out to those students. So in order to create a connected Minnesota, we need action now. Because as a 16-year-old, tabling issue for a couple of years will not help me, but hurt me and current students. Because that aid further on will not help us. Furthermore, in order for the future to look better and for people to come back to their hometowns after college is to see a future outside of what they saw was available to them previously. And that there are things every single one of us would love to accomplish in our communities, but is it possible? Do we see it being implemented? Is there that possibility? See, representatives, I understand that you guys are aware of the belief in changing our state for the better. And as a council, we make sure all youth voices and experiences are highlighted and empowered to lead the change. So I urge you guys all to closely consider the impact of making sure no child is left behind and that we all have the ability to succeed with the help of our communities, because the reception of a quality education in our state will aid in growth and help future generations in ending cycles of poverty and aiding in the reinvestment of communities. Thank you all for your time and your commitment to hearing youth from this time. I'm happy to answer any questions you have for me.
Thank you, Ms. Abdi. Members, we will take questions for each student after they present. Unless they run off, we can probably ask questions later in the process as well. But are there any questions at this time for Ms. Abdi?
Reminder to members, the raise your hand function is now located under the reaction tab. Just right click there and we'll see your hand pop up. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burt. Seeing none at this time, Ms. Abdi, if you're able to stay with us, we'd appreciate it. Next on the agenda is Ms. Caitlin, I'm going to say Dory, I hope that's correct. Please correct me if I'm wrong, from Grand Rapids Senior High School. Ms. Dory, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Devney, and the members of the committee for inviting youth members to speak today. My name is Caitlin Dory, and if y'all don't mind, I'm going to start by telling you a bit about myself, and then I'll get into my experiences with distance learning this past year. So I was born in Roseau, Minnesota, and I grew up in Grand Rapids and on the Iron Range. Right now, I am a junior at Grand Rapids High School, and I chair the 8th Congressional District of the Minnesota Youth Council. I've always been very good at school. I'm a quick learner, and I self-identify huge nerd. In the fifth grade, I would go up to my teachers and ask them for extra homework to do. So, like, huge nerd. I was always into it. Being the smart kid, quote unquote, has always been one of the focal points of my identity for quite literally as long as I can remember. But eventually I grew older, as kids do, and passions for politics and policy became career goals, and dreams and fantasies I had as a little girl about going to an Ivy League school like Harvard or Princeton became real possibilities if I made the right moves and worked my butt off right now. So as I moved into high school, my focus shifted from playing video games and hanging out with my friends to building my resume and making myself into a viable candidate for the places I want to go and the networks I need to have access to. However, as I started to look around for these experience gaining opportunities, it became increasingly apparent that as a student from Greater Minnesota, my options are limited. You see, I'm from what people around here like to call a dying town. Job opportunities are limited and growing smaller. There's increasing problems of poverty and chemical dependency. And it's understood around here that for young people, if they want to be successful, they need to leave seeking careers and job opportunities and building their lives elsewhere. As a student with high achieving aspirations, I've been faced with the frustrations of a lack of opportunities and resources to be able to measure up to the Metro kids in competitive admissions processes. It often feels like engaging in the movie cities based opportunities are my only options, which includes the ordeal of a 3-hour drive down there, finding a place to stay, paying for gas, paying for food, and getting work and school off. If it weren't for the fact that we've moved to an online forum, I wouldn't be able to speak to you guys all today. Currently, I'm on the hunt for summer internship opportunities in the offices of this legislator, an opportunity I'd be grateful for, but that means moving down to the cities and leaving behind my friends and family for months. I'm fortunate in one way that my school is one of the only schools in Greater Minnesota to offer the International Baccalaureate Program. I'm an IB diploma candidate, which for those that don't know, it means I'm taking the equivalent of 7 college level classes in the special honors program. This program raises my chances of getting to Princeton from 5.5% to 14%, which is a statistic I've been holding on to tight the last few months, since, as you know, this year didn't turn out how I envisioned it when I first signed up for this. I was not built for distance learning. I'm a social being that learns in structured environments with back and forth interactions with my teachers and my peers. This year, the isolation on top of everything has been crushing. Last year, school moved to distance learning at the end of my sophomore year, and I found myself overwhelmed, exhausted at the smallest assignments. And moving into this year came with dread rather than the excitement I had months before, knowing that my workload would triple in an uncertain learning environment. Since the beginning of the school year, I have now gone through 3 different changes in learning models, all with their own upheavals and anxieties. And if you'll allow me to be honest, my mental health has crumbled this year. This year put me in therapy. This year put me on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication. And as I struggled with the workload and the tasks that used to be simple to me, this year had me questioning my smart kid identity. And with that comes the terror of questioning my own capabilities, of questioning my dreams and my aspirations. If I can't handle this, how am I supposed to handle Harvard? Do I really deserve to go there? Am I really as intelligent as I thought I was? Am I really as strong as I thought I was? This pandemic has brought me to my knees. I went from feeling invincible to just feeling small, unable to keep up with my own expectations of myself, with the extracurriculars I need to participate in, with my duties as a Minnesota Youth Council rep. Honestly, my anxiety is the only thing keeping my grades up. And I'm doing this alone. There's little support from my school. My poor, overworked counselor takes a week to respond to my emails, having the caseload of hundreds of students experiencing similar struggles with me. I'm coming to you today as a representative, as representatives with the power to help. You have the power to fund mental health services. You have the power to bring in counselors for more than just career in college. You have the power to fund programs and opportunities for Greater Minnesota students, to bring help to a community that feels left behind and forgotten. Today, I am here to ask you for help. Thank you all for listening, and I'm also open to any questions.
Ms. Dory, thank you very much for that. Questions for Ms. Dory from members? If you can stick around, please do.
Rep. Dabney, I see that Rep. Feist has a question.
Oh, my apologies. I didn't see that. Representative Feist.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is my first time speaking in a committee, so I'm excited. I just wanted to comment to the speaker that you seem amazing and empowered and doing wonderful schoolwork and work in the community. And just for context, I was a very so-so student at your age. I was going to go be a Broadway star, and I didn't figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up until I was 27 when I decided to go to law school. So you have a lot of time, and I just want to encourage you. You seem amazing, and don't put too much pressure on yourself. Life's short. So anyway, that was all. I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions at this time, I'd like to move through the agenda to Ms. Karen, I'm going to say Geis, but I've probably got that wrong, from Red Lake Senior High. Ms. Geis, welcome to the committee. Please correct the chair in the pronunciation of your name if need be, and share your testimony.
Okay, well, thank you. And you actually got my last name correct. Buju Karen Indigenikaz. Hello, I'm Karen Gaius. I'm a junior at Red Lake High School. I represent the Minnesota Youth Council, Congressional District 7, and the Mental Health Committee. I would like to begin with some background information on my beloved community. Red Lake Nation is a very close-knit and supportive community. As an Indigenous population, we have to work twice as hard as everyone else. We pride ourselves on our graduates and basketball. It's a gigantic deal to graduate. It means you overcame multiple challenges, avoiding drugs, depression / suicide, getting back on track, and teenage pregnancy. For many, basketball is a lifeline. The thought of it being canceled will have a drastic effect among the student body. Distant learning has too many flaws to work efficiently. First, it separates everyone. Therefore, it's hard to get individual help. At my school particularly, our advisory classes work as a unit. We don't leave anyone behind. We help each other to understand the material and even use peer pressure to help them get an assignment done. In fact, students' responsibilities have tripled. I personally became a nanny, chef, teacher, and parent overnight. I have to watch my three younger brothers cook breakfast and lunch, help them with their schoolwork, tutor other students while maintaining my perfect straight A record. I know the students I tutor, and if we were in person, they wouldn't need the extra support. As for me, the only reason why I'm still trying with school is because of my grades. I work too hard to give up now. Another reason is distant learning feels very optional. You go to school by opening a laptop. It's so easy to open it and feel overwhelmed by a bunch of assignments. Discipline is not the problem. It's the fact that many students do assignments to get them done and not to learn. We're in survival mode. We do things last minute because we feel like we have time. We're home all day and night. Our natural stress doesn't kick in until the assignment is almost due. It's a perfect situation for procrastination to thrive. I know many students, including myself, feel like complete failures. We feel like we should be doing more because we know we could do more. Nobody's harder on us than ourselves. That's it. I just want to thank you for listening as you make your decision for funding. Please consider the impact on my community.
Ms. Guys, thank you for sharing your story today. Members, questions? If you can stay with us, please do, Ms. Guys. Next, Mr. Jaden Henderson from the Bemidji High School. Mr. Henderson, welcome to the committee. Please proceed with your testimony.
I'm actually a female.
My apologies, Ms. Henderson.
All of the time, it's okay. I'd like to start off by saying thank you, Chair Dabney, and members of the committee. My name is Jaden Henderson. I'm a female, and I'm a first-year Minnesota Youth Council member, and I am very lucky to have the privilege to speak to you all here today. I'm a junior in high school. I'm 17. I'm also a representative from CD7, and I'm also a member of the Environmental Committee. I'd like to say my focus is wide. I'm a very open-minded person, but today I just want to focus on the effects of the pandemic and the impact it has on the younger generations. Before I jump into my testimony, I would like to say many of what the people who went before me said is very true. I am lucky enough to have a parent as a teacher, so I can fall back on that. It's actually my mother who's the teacher. So she can help me push forward and get motivated for things. So I'm very lucky to have that. Over the past 10 or so months, one of the major issues I have had and many of my classmates have had is the problem with technology and access to the materials needed. On average, I spend from 8:19 in the morning to 3:05 p.m. in the afternoon in class, and then I spend an additional 2 or 3 hours working on my homework on the computer. I am definitely one of the more privileged students here in Bemidji because I have access to a computer and access to the internet. But an example that I'm going to use that I have seen over and over again is many students in my school have to use their phones as a way to get to class and for Zoom, and that using a device such as a phone can be very distracting, and you can be easily sidetracked. And then there's also the issue of materials. And this year, my school had spent much of a limited budget on Chromebooks, but they were received very late into the year. So for the first half of the year, we didn't have them, and then we eventually got them. And that brings up one of my fears that the additional expense of the Chromebooks that is cutting into the district's budget will lead to cuts elsewhere into the year when students are back in school and need support. In addition to technology, another major problem that I've seen is mental health and motivation. And I think part of the problem for this is the fact that school systems were set up to be similar to a factory setting, so that in the past they could put out very good workers very quickly. And today we have different needs and different types of jobs, and the system should fit the individual and not the group. For me personally, before the pandemic, I had my schoolwork and home life separated. This helped my mental health, and I had trained my body and mind to fit those spaces so I had the support to focus and stay focused. That gave me a balanced life and a balanced platform to work on my education. But with the pandemic, those two spaces had collided, and that had added a layer of stress into my life, which has been difficult to focus and has made me feel anxiety a lot worse. It also has made me feel overwhelmed multiple times through one day. And I'm not alone in these feelings, and getting access to help is harder than before. For instance, now if a student needs to ask a question or needs help with both schoolwork and mental health-wise, they have to email and set up a meeting, which adds to the already mounting loads of things to do in a day. Also, those teachers and counselors have tons of workload, way more than students, because they have like 50 students or more. And another concern is students falling behind due to the difficult life circumstances. Some students, the basic resources for class, such as pencils, paper, and notebooks, are mostly provided from the teachers, and if the student doesn't have the ability to receive those resources, then they don't have the adequate materials to do homework that is given to them. This adds to the pressure of society on students to not be the odd one out, and it discourages students from getting or asking help with said materials, which then decreases their grade, which then adds to the stress to get better grades, and then that starts the spiral of procrastination, grades getting lower, and then eventually maybe even dropping out. I would like to thank Chair Davney and the committee administrator, Sarah Burt, for listening to us students. I appreciate your commitment to providing young people opportunities to share our experiences, and I look forward to working with you in the future. I am happy to pass on or answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. Questions for Ms. Henderson at this time? Seeing none, next on our agenda is Mr. Isaac Fox. Isaac, just his background, is not affiliated with the Minnesota Youth Council, but was good enough to join us this morning. Mr. Fox, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello, everyone. I'm a junior from Southwest High School in Minneapolis. And first off, I'd like to thank everyone for allowing me to provide some comments. So COVID has taken a large impact on my personal learning. Due to staff figuring out the logistics of switching to online school, attention has been taken away from the material taught, and the usual workload has increased a lot compared to when we were in-person school. The teachers now have the ability to record lessons so students can replay them outside of class, which is really good for many students, sometimes of other things going on during the day. At Southwest, cameras are not required, and personally, this makes me feel disconnected from my classmates. Students seem to be participating less in answering questions, and teachers have to strain in order to get students to share. The freshman class has not stepped foot in the school, nor seen their classmates in person. As a result of this isolation, students' mental health is taking a toll. Sitting in front of a computer for multiple hours a day can get tiring. As a result of these barriers, learning is not the main focus anymore. Getting through the day is. Thank you. If anyone has any questions, of course, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fox, for joining us and for that testimony. Members, any questions? Seeing none, Mr. Fox, if you can stay with us, we'll move on to our last testifier for today, Casey Brookins from Fairmont Junior Senior High School. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Brooke Devney, Ms. Brookins might not be with us. Just one moment.
Ms. Burt, while you're working on that, I see that Representative Jordan has raised her hand. So, Representative Jordan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd like to start with a comment and just let all the students, I want to thank all the students for being here with and sharing your testimony. I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with needing extra help during this pandemic. I personally went to therapy and took antidepressants when I was in high school, and I've gone back to that and sought the help that I needed during this pandemic because it is incredibly isolating, and getting extra help is a good thing. And I am so sorry that it has been so much harder to deal with your own mental health and to receive that help that you need in your schools. And that lack of counseling is something that I really hope that this committee and the Education Policy Committee really look at. A question I have is, as I've noticed, some of our students, so Ms. Abdi, Ms. Dory, Ms. Henderson, Ms. Gies, guys, you all really spoke well about that you'd like to see more than you see in your hometown. And I really identify with that as someone who grew up in a town of 800 people, that having access to things like having access to extracurricular activities or having access to world history and ethnic studies was something that really helped me become a student. So what sort of motivation are you looking for to help you get through your mental health and to help you focus on your school? I'm glad you're also driven by grades, but I think as Representative Feist said, the world is a lot bigger than that, and having those other things in your life to motivate you to do well in school is important. So what would you think would be important for this committee and for legislators to know about what motivates you in school and what sorts of activities would help you achieve your goals and dreams?
So to the testifiers today, we're all still evolving in our approaches and best practices on Zoom meetings. Since there is essentially a panel of you, perhaps the best way to handle questions is if you wish to respond, be like Ms. Abdi, who's well ahead of me already, and raise your hand. And since Ms. Abdi's on it, Ms. Abdi, if you'd want to take a moment to respond to Representative Jordan's question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Dabney. Thank you, Representative. So I would say there's a lot of things that really lead you. And that's like, I really feel like the key of like being a part of MIC, being in high school, like you need to find your niche. What is that thing that pushes you forward? What is that thing that motivates you? What is that thing? What is your goal? And what is your support? What do you love? And I really think like love, like it sounds weird and like cliche, but love and community, building your community, because the community is such an important thing. The people you rely on, the people you help, the people you want to fight for. And what is like, what can you change? You know, I have what I call 4 younger siblings. And every time I talk to them, I'm really happy because I can see that they will make change. I can see that they're passionate, and I want them to live in a world where it's just an equitable world where they can thrive and feel happy and grow up not worrying about the same things previous generations have had, the same things I did. So it's always, what can you do to change it? What initiative or what things can you do to make that difference? It, you know, like the whole, can you change the world? It's not about changing the world. It's about changing the people and the things closest to you. It's about making a difference where you live, where your community is, where the people you love live. And having that lead you, having that motivate you, having that be your thing. You know, both my parents are immigrants, and they immigrated here decades ago, but we'll call it hearing their stories and why they immigrated and like the difference and change the how things have gone, why they did it, is what leads me, because it's about what difference can you make that will affect people in a positive manner, it doesn't have to be the whole world. So I don't know, like making change, love, and community. Those are like the three simple things I would describe it as. Thank you.
Change, love, and community, not bad. Representative Thompson, you have a question.
This is a question, a couple of just quick comments. We talk about mental health, and I'm hearing the young, first of all, I want to say thank you to the young men and women who came and spoke so eloquently. But you talk about mental health, and it almost seems like, my grandma used to have this tea kettle, and she'd fill it with water, and she'd sit it on the stove. And eventually that kettle would whistle because the steam would pour out. But if you put your hand over it, you burn your hand, and we knew not to put our hand over it because if that steam touched your hand, it burned your hand. So what I'm hearing is our babies, our kids, whistling right now to us that they need our help. And so what I wanted to ask is who's helping cope? Because I know we're in COVID. So who's helping you youngsters cope? Who's helping you with the grades that, I heard one young lady said her grades were slipping. So who's helping you get the extra support you need during the pandemic?
Any of the students?
Daphne, Caitlin is able to answer.
Oh, please, Caitlin.
Yeah, so helping cope, that's been a big conversation with the people close in my life the last few months, among my therapist and I, but I am in the fortunate position to have a incredibly wonderful and empathetic mother that is willing to sit down with me every night while I'm overwhelmed or having anxiety attacks or just crying for the sake of crying because there's a lot happening, which lately has been almost every single night. I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't have her to be able to support me through that outlet, but I think it's really important to recognize that not everybody is fortunate as I am. And I think it's my strong belief that where homes and families fail, that is it's the job of our school system to pick up the slack. There is very limited mental health support offered in our education system. We have the concept of school counselors whose jobs are mostly for career and college counseling instead of the more personal mental health support. I think that instead of giving them the job of mental health support, I think that more funding and allocation needs to be going towards specific individuals who are there to support their students and help pick up some of that slack, because not everyone has a bomb mother like I do. So that's how I've been coping.
Thank you, Ms. Dory. Representative Thompson, any follow-up?
No, thank you, Representative Depp. Sure, Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Erickson, I saw your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, students, for your testimonies. I think all of you have experienced distance learning, and you're succeeding to a certain extent, and I thank you for that in spite of all the issues that have arisen in your lives and in the fact that you're not face-to-face in your learning with your teachers. What did you observe from other students who may have had a greater struggle academically than you did? Can you just share a little bit of that with us, one or two of you? Maybe Isaac, what did you notice about Southwest? Anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I saw...
Mr. Fox?
Sorry.
Go right ahead.
I saw just frustration and like someone said earlier, just a downward spiral. Once these missing assignments start piling up and grades start to slip, it's really hard to come back from that. I was in a meeting earlier and it was showing percentages of each subject that students are failing, and it's up a lot since the previous year before. So yeah, it's hard to come back from once you're already down.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Isaac, how would you solve that problem about how we help those children who or those young people at your age who are in that downward spiral?
Mr. Fox?
They need really close support from, so like in middle school or early years when teachers are, you know, pushing them and leading them along, now it's more independent, especially with online. So teachers, in my opinion, need to come back and almost guide students that are struggling a lot with turning in assignments and getting work done.
Thank you. That's right on point. That's certainly the way I would feel as a teacher, is that, you know, I had to spend a lot more time reteaching and trying to connect with those students that I can see, you know, through the Zoom, the distance learning model, whatever mode you were in, you know, that they're not with us, and we can't leave them behind. Is there anyone else who'd like to comment?
Representative Erickson, Ms. Geis and Ms. Abdi both have their hands up. So why don't we take responses from them and then move on to another member's question. Ms. Geis?
For me personally, Red Lake is like so supportive that like we have like a program for like teenage parents, and like they're able to like still learn in like in our school, and like teachers are able to like come in and explain to them personally before COVID happened. And now like they're just struggling, and my friend just recently had her baby, and like she doesn't know what to do. And she's like struggling really hard because before COVID happened, with the program, like she was able to like get like breakfast, lunch, be able to still learn, still do school, and be able to bring her child with her. So she didn't have to worry about childcare. And like, how should I word this? When we're in like a school setting, we help each other. Like we don't like leave anyone behind. So if one person is struggling, like we all help them. And it's hard to do that with distant learning.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Thank you, Ms. Geis. Ms. Abdi.
Thank you, Chair Davney. I would say something very clear is the disconnect between students and teachers. You know, with the new school year, you get new teachers. With the new semester, you get new teachers and new people in your class. You know, it might be a few people that you have together, but it's always a shuffling of people, of routine, of things. And one thing is students don't have the opportunity to know their teacher at a better level, and teachers don't have that ability either. What works for certain students, what doesn't, different personalities, how they work out in class, especially with cameras being optional. It's what is that student doing? I know people that are just sleeping. There is sleeping during the class. Their camera isn't on and they're not being able to work. I would say like kind of being connected. So one thing our student government did was go into freshman classes, because the current freshman class hasn't been in person in my school district specifically. So they don't really know their teachers. And something that was very apparent was, I don't know how to do it, because it's hard to learn. It's hard to do these things when there's no incentive, especially with grading for learning. There is no incentive to do work. And as you slowly not do that homework for that assignment, you get a test on that, that work. Do you understand it? No. So you fall behind, and you slowly fall behind. And a conversation I had with one of my teachers is, as soon as you fall behind on 2 weeks worth of work, it's significantly more difficult to be even past that class or work harder, because you're like, well, it's over. It's not that you're not going to get forward, and it's harder to learn because materials in so many classes, math, English, they go on top of each other. It's slowly a progression of work. So having, as a group, is like community, being able to help each other, having study groups, being able to reach out to your teachers, because as I previously said, personality is so important. Like, I'm very outgoing and I would gladly email any teacher and ask them for more help because I understand, like, that's what they, so many of them are willing to do that. But it could be the same said for the quiet student who you haven't heard of in an entire semester who's struggling. It's so difficult. And also that lack of accountability, especially with being online, if camera's off and there are no incentives, it's very much students are falling behind. And how can we help them? Is it, I know we're called going in person is essentially the goal, but also being online, how can we help them now currently? With semesters ending now, semesters that previously ended, it's so difficult. I've pulled more all-nighters this year than I have ever in my life. Going to sleep at 11 a.m. is not the goal we're going for. And so it's working hard and understanding and learning and getting these resources and tutoring services and having those funded, or having math resource rooms where you can go to like online Zoom calls and get help from students, we call teachers. That's what we have at my school. We call it science, we call having that resources. So that's really important, just feeling connected and being able to talk to your teachers, not being able to just be in their Zoom class.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, students, for those insightful suggestions. I think we'll be discussing many of those in this session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. And members, I recognize there are a couple of more questions, but Casey Brookins has joined us from Fairmont, and I want to make sure that we get to hear Casey's voice in these discussions. So Casey, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon. It's an honor to be able to testify to you all today. My name is Casey Brookins. I am a junior at Fairmont Junior Senior High School, and this is my first year as a representative on the Minnesota Youth Council for Congressional District 1. And so with that, am I good to proceed with my testimony?
You certainly are. Thank you, Casey.
Excellent. Chair Dabney and members of the committee, my name is Casey Brookins, and I am a youth representative for Congressional District 1 for the Minnesota Youth Council. I serve on the Health and Wellbeing Subcommittee, and although this is my first year as a representative, I have been engaged with my community for a number of years. I am an 11th grade student from Fairmont Junior Senior High School, as you previously heard, and it is my honor to be able to testify on the behalf of not only my fellow peers, but for students throughout my congressional district. And if you find yourself unfamiliar with the town of Fairmont, that's all right. It is a rural town residing in District 23A, if that rings a bell, with a population of around 10,000, and it's about 10 miles north of the Iowa border. The pinpoint location of my hometown is not critical information, but what is the experience I have as a rural student within that town. The rural areas in which thousands of students throughout my district reside in each come with their own set of unique challenges, especially in regards to distance learning. It goes without saying that adapting to a distance learning model has been less than ideal for students, parents, and educators alike around the state of Minnesota. However, there are outstanding discrepancies in distance learning when it comes to students living in rural communities like mine. When first making the transition to distance learning in March of last year, it was staggering to see the amount of technology discrepancies throughout my student body. As I observed the needs of my peers as I went from class to class, I was astounded by the amount of students that did not have adequate technology or resources to complete simple coursework at home. And I quickly came to the realization that this inaccessibility not only posed a large threat to distance learning, but even the standard in-person learning model that we were used to prior, it posed major challenges to students without that quality technology or broadband connection at home. And luckily for my district, like many schools, we relied on Chromebooks within the classroom before the pandemic, and thus we were able to adapt to a one-on-one technology model where every student, regardless of family income or other circumstances, received a school Chromebook to keep at home so they could do their work. But unfortunately, even with this model, students with no or poor broadband connection still face a lot of struggles and discrepancies. And that is an issue that still remains unsolved for not only students in my community, but for thousands of students around the state. And even without these discrepancies in technology, distance learning continues to be a major stressor for students of all backgrounds. through experience on the Minnesota Youth Council, our extracurricular activities, and day-to-day interactions with my classmates, one theme is unanimous throughout these times. We as students are exhausted. Young people across the state, regardless of their previous academic performance, are finding themselves unmotivated and struggling to keep up with coursework. All too many students, myself included, feel a lack of stability and support through such trying times. The status quo when it comes to student support is simply not enough. And I ask that as you head into the legislative session, that you simply have empathy and consideration for the health of students, whether it be mental, emotional, and physical, in your decision-making process. And as I conclude my testimony, I would like to thank Chair Davney and the committee administrator, Sarah Burt, for their continued support of Youth Voice and for this provided space to testify today. Myself and youth from all parts of Minnesota are grateful for your demonstrated efforts to ensure that no decision is made about us without us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brookins. Representative Sandstead, I see you've had your hand up.
Thank you, Chair Davney. My goodness, such powerful testimony from all of our testifiers today. And I just want to just say a very heartfelt thank you to each one of you as you have come forth and shared your stories. A couple of comments I want to make, and then a question, and whoever would like to respond would be great. Caitlin Dory mentioned in her testimony how hard it was for her counselor to respond to her, how long it took, maybe upwards even of a week, to address maybe some mental health concerns. And while I understand, you know, clearly that we need to improve our resources to our students, I think it's really important to note also that in Greater Minnesota, it isn't just in the schools that we have a lack of resources in terms of mental health. It's even outside of that. So if we're not able to get the resources in our schools, parents are looking for supports and resources outside of the schools. And in Greater Minnesota, those are desperately lacking, especially in the world of pediatric mental health. It is almost unheard of. It's very difficult to find those resources. And our students now are going to need those in school and or out of school. I just want to also say, Ms. Geist, you did a beautiful job talking, and I'm so grateful that you are willing to tutor other students and help them and leave no one behind. And really, COVID has shown us, unfortunately, that it does take a village more than we would like to admit to be with one another. And I know that the village is very weary right now, and we're hearing that today. So I, again, appreciate everybody's testimony. The question that I have for anybody, is there any part of your hybrid experience or distance learning experience that maybe did work or was beneficial? We've heard a lot of negative impact, and I understand that wholeheartedly. As a teacher myself, I know the importance of being back in the classroom, but we don't know when the next pandemic or the next situation would arise. Is there anything that was a positive that we should be aware of for preparation of maybe something in the future?
So for the members of the committee, the testifiers, and the public, we've got just over 10 minutes left in our committee hearing time. But Ms. Henderson, you had your hand up, please.
What I was gonna say is that I think the hybrid is the best because you get both that kind of like isolation, but you also get the social ability, which brings in like the personalities of introverts and extroverts. So it kind of combines those. And it's also, you have a chance to ask questions, but you also have a chance to have a break. So I think the hybrid was one of the pluses, for at least for me and my friends.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Henderson. Ms. Abdi.
Thank you, Chair Abdi. So I would say something that's really working for my school, and that's a big positive, is so we currently do block days where we have half of our classes one day, and then the next day we have the other half.
So that works Mondays and Tuesdays and then Thursdays and Fridays. And we now have Wednesdays as asynchronous days. So where teachers don't assign work, you don't have to go to class. You can just do your work by yourself at home. And I really think that gives you that bit of a break during the week to work on and catch up on like different works, which I think is really working in my school district, and which is a positive because I really think it kind of helps with a lot of kids' mental health, not constantly having to stare at a computer all day.
Thank you. Ms. Dory.
It's just a small and more anecdotal thing, but the empathy and the increased flexibility I've experienced from my teachers has been a huge help. You know, less strict on deadlines, more willing to give work days, more understanding about redoing work. I think that Casey named it, we're exhausted, we need a break, and we're not really getting that. We are being expected to do all of the work and function and learn normally in a very abnormal way, in a way that none of us are used to, none of us have done before. And with those expectations, it's just individuals, teachers, and not all of them, but specific ones have at least been able to extend a hand of empathy and show a little more care and flexibility in the way that they grade and the way that they're accepting work. That's pretty much been my only reprieve personally.
Thank you. Ms. Brookins, did you want to respond to Representative Sanstead's question?
I did have a response, but it has been largely touched upon by some of my fellow representatives from the Youth Council. Just having that flexibility and more of that asynchronous model, I have found, has worked very well for a lot of students within my high school and even within the younger elementary grades. So that is something I would definitely consider a perk.
Very good. Thank you very much. Members, we chose to start our this biennium's hearings with centering youth voices. This is very similar to what we've did the previous biennium as well, because we believe it's important that we listen to these voices and hear from students directly what their experience of education in Minnesota is. I want to thank the students, Salma, Caitlin, Karen, Jaden, Isaac, and Casey for taking time out of your school day, synchronous or asynchronous, to join us today and to share the perspective of yourself as well as your fellow students at your different schools across the state. I do appreciate, as I said at the front end, that while there's many challenges, the shift to this Zoom platform has facilitated voices from across Minnesota more easily participating in the legislative process, such as you just experienced, and that's better legislative process for us to be able to hear these diverse voices. So thank you all very much for joining us today. Members, we have two more meetings this week, tomorrow and Thursday, and everyone has the materials in their inbox for the next meeting. With that, unless there are any questions from committee members, and I'm not seeing any, thank you all for joining us today. We are adjourned.